I have it recorded already. I'll send it to him. So, and this mimer came up, and it was very meaningful. We learned it then. This goes back about, must be already 7, 8, 9 years ago. Some of you were here then, might remember, but it's always good to have a chazara. 2 years ago, I was in Florida at the retreat there, and I taught this mimer. Then, but to the West Coast kinnis, I haven't done this in a while. Last year we taught Nesata L'Reyecha Nesles Noises, a mimer from the Rebbe. Yes. And this mimer is Derech Mitzvah Secha. Yisir Avoydis Koyin Baal Mum Miknesasei Lehechel. 5, 6 years ago. You thanked us, that's right.
Wow, that's a
blow. So, obviously, within the context of 2 days and a little bit of time that we have to learn, we will not be able to learn inside the entire mimer, but I plan on just taking you through what is mamish life-saving mimer for people who have challenges with children, with special needs children on all various different levels of challenge. See, the challenge that we have is obviously a physical one, an emotional one, but even a spiritual one. Because what drives a yid really is his nefesh elikis, and our true motive and energy in life comes from our neshama. We all have our ideals as a yid, and especially as shluchim, and when it comes to particular challenges, and I mentioned it last year when we learned the mimer, sometimes it feels like an impediment on our avodah. Not as a chelik of our avodah, but rather as an impediment, as something getting in the way, you know, the Eibush to add an extra weights so that the avodah can be more meaningful. So that works to a certain degree because you realize, okay, there's a bigger challenge, it's more fulfilling. For those that are schar oriented, obviously, it's like a bigger schar. But as people who study Chassidus, and as particularly Lubavitcher Chassidim, we are very, very, very shlichus oriented. Now, this is a group of shluchim, obviously, mostly. But even before you get to official shlichus, our entire approach in Yiddishkeit, that is the approach of Chassidus, is lama yarda nishmasi. Why did my neshama come down into this world? It's the question that we almost have in every mimer of the Alter Rebbe. The Alter Rebbe is so bothered because the Alter Rebbe is so in touch with the neshama tahirahi, where the neshama is not even a nivra. The neshama is not just a holy neshama. The neshama is a chelik l'chaim ma'al mamish. It's part of the Orein Soif. So why did the neshama even come down to become a neshama, to become a creation, let alone to go into a physical body? So the question keeps on coming up again and again. And there is various different approaches that you read at Tzayda Chaliyah. But what dominates, especially in Chabad Chassidus, what dominates is not what we get from it, but what the Eibishter gets from it. And as we're here to do something, we're here on a shlichus. In other words, the question from the famous story of the Alter Rebbe, but don't ask what you need, but ask what do you need it for. So in as a chassid, we're very, very, very programmed that we have a mission in this world. And the mission is not for ourselves. The mission is for the tikkun outside of us. The Alter Rebbe explains in Perek Lamed Zayin and Tanya that the neshama did not come down in this world for its own tikkun. The neshama came down with sakein to fix the nefesh Bahamas for chelka bi'olam. Because the neshama ain't tzricha tikkun. The neshama is piece of the Eibishter. It doesn't need any tikkunim. A neshama doesn't come down for itself. It comes down to make a difference in the world. So that, in general, if you learn chassidus, and you're very shlichus oriented. Now, if you're officially signed up in shlichus, which means that you're actually that becomes your external identity as well, not just your internal identity, but your external identity is also as a shliach. So then the question becomes, when it comes to our children, these particular children, can we put them into the role that they too are part of the shlichus, and that they have a shlichus l'sakenis ha'olam, to be mesaken the world, and to be mesaken the world as part of our shlichus, which means it's all part of our family unit. When you're going on shlichus, everybody realizes you're going as a team. You're going, you and your wife, And you're going with your family, the children that are born in Shlichus, they're all part of the Shlichus. It's a unit. It's a team. And we're conquerors. We're here to conquer the world from the Klippa and make the world into a home for the Eberstein. Here comes, the Eberstein throws in a special needs child that doesn't seem to be having that much of an influence. Now, there are different types. Sometimes you have a child that's a little artistic and so on and so forth, but yet they're the draw of the entire community. Everybody loves them. So they push it, help out in the Shlichus. Sometimes the children are not that way. They're just completely not shivin shayach to do that. And then you're trying to figure out how in the world. Doesn't seem like they have any impact other than making you crazy, other than driving you insane and draining your energy. What we're going to see in this maimer is perhaps the biggest role of the entire Shlichus is that child. It's incredible. It takes us into a world that is utterly unknown to us. It takes us into the ultimate reality of existence, the secret of neshamas. And what the maimer is going to discuss is basically, the maimer is talking about balimum. Kahanim that are balimum, we know in Parshas Emor, it says that kahanim that are balimum are not allowed to do the avodah. However, he's going to bring in the beginning, the halacha is that although they're not allowed to do the avodah, they're allowed to partake in the meat, in the sacrificial meat, in the achila of the karbanis, the eating of the karbanis, the karhanim are allowed, even though they have bali mumim, they're allowed to take place. They're allowed to participate. The question he asks in the beginning of the maimer is, since eating of a karban is part of the kapara, kahanim oichlim and the balabayis, the old person is mischaper. So if they're not kosher for that avodah, for whatever reason, because they have some kind of a pagam, why are they allowed to eat, and why can they bring that kapar? The basic idea that he's going to explain, just very, very shortly, regarding that, is that there are two levels to the neshama. There is an external part of the neshama, there's an internal part of the neshama, there's a more outer reality, there more is an internal reality. When a person has a physical balmum, it's not only a mum in the guf, it's also a mum in the neshama, but only in the guf of the neshama, not in the neshama of the neshama. In other words, in the external kalim of the neshama, there is a mum, and that mum that's there is an incredible mesiras nefesh from the neshama to accomplish something unbelievable, as we're going to see in the maimer. But on a deeper inner level, on the neshama of the neshama, over there's no mum. And therefore he differentiates. The eating of the karbanis, the avodah that's done through the eating of the karbanis, is a spiritual avodah that's related to pnimius neshama, on the level, or what we might call the masculine side of the neshama, where over there, that avodah is done from the place where there is no mum, and that's why they can participate in that eating. But the avodah of the offering of the karbanis, the avodah of the shechting and all the avodahs that kahanim do, that's done in the external part of the neshama, where the mum, their spiritual blemish that they have, will interfere. Okay? So what he's going to go into is he's going to base it all on it's really based on the Alter Rebbe's Maimer, Kehu Yivarech Es HaZavach. But let's see inside. It's going to be based on a passage of the Zohar. Fantastic. Again, we're going to skip around a little bit. Here we go. So the mitzvah ishle yikonis koyim balmum lehechel l'mezbeach. Shenemar, as it says, achel ha-pareches l'yavay v'l'mezbeach l'yigash, ki mum bo yiyazamum. V'oibo shnei lavim, there's another two lavim, ba'avoydis balimumim, there's another two prohibitions regarding an avoid of a balmum, kavua, v'oiver, k'moshikasa v'achinuch, there's two levels of balmum, a person that has a permanent mum, a person that has a temporary mum, okay. And in the root of the mitzvah, first he brings the chinuch, the root api nigla, the revealed, sheyash remez, there's a remez, l'shleimus tzudasai, that when a person has a shleimus, everything in this world, the Eibishter is perfect, so all of his servants have to be perfect, and therefore, to have a kayin with a balmom is kind of getting in the way. Linyanim, okay, chulu, you can look in the chinuch over there. Ulahavin shaydish inyan, but to understand that api pnimius atayr, pnimius inyanim, harchak is balimumen, the distancing of the balmum min avodah from the avodah, the hiteram, but at the same time, they're permitted b'chilas b'sar kodesh kodeshim. They're allowed to take part in the eating of the meat. V'hamurim akachim kalim, and what is erased from the minor kachim. The bread of Hashem, which is the karbonos, that the kohen is allowed to, is a, the kohen that he has a balmum, has a mum, is allowed to eat. The pirush Rashi v'chein shnina bereish perik yud beis dezvachim b'mishna bali mumim bein bali mumim kavuim bein bali mumim oivrim. Any type of balmum, whether it's a permanent mum or a temporary mum, they take part in the division of the karbonos, but they don't offer. So the question is, the eating of the karbonos is a kapara to the owner, kiddu as it is known. If so, why are they allowed to do this avoida, but not allowed to do the avoida? We know that the kahanim had to eat the karbonos standing, and no one sat down. And the kahanim, really, the eating was a very high avodah. They were in a deep meditative state, the kahanim, when they were eating the karbonis. They were doing a very, very high avodah. They were standing, they stood. It's like standing Shemayin Esrei, in a state of bittul, on the highest levels. So if that's the case, if it's such a high avodah, why is it that the bali mumim are shayach and are allowed to take part of it? So in order to do this, yesh lahagdim, we can first preface Maimer Harshbi. We will first preface by bringing a statement of the Zohar. It's not only a statement of the Zohar, it's a statement of Rashbi. The Zohar has many, many speakers in the Zohar. This is from the Rav Shimon bar Yochai. Al pasuk zeh v'zeh l'shoinai. This is what it says in the Zohar. Tochazi, come and see. Bahu shata dahu nohar nogid v'nafik. At the time when that river goes forth. Apik kol inin nishmasin. It brings forth all these nishamas. It's talking about the flow of divine energy, we might call it masculine energy, that flows from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it flows into the female Lamaila, that's the Shekhinah. Everything in our world, Zachar v'Nekeva Baram, is in a reflection of the higher realms, of the spiritual realms, of the godly realms. So we have over here male and female. In order to produce a child, there has to be a union between a husband and a wife. The same takes place in the divine elements above, that from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is the male element of the Orein Soif, the higher transcendental elements of Elokus, flows into Malchus. Malchus is the source of the Olamos. She becomes impregnated with Neshamas. Okay? The Nafik Apik Kol Ine Nishmas. Now Nohar, the Nohar that he's referring to, usually Nohar is referring to Bina. But it seems like that over here, the Nor particularly is referring to Yesod. The flow of energy from Yesod to Malchus is called the Nohar that's flowing, this Abris Nukva. And the female, which is Malchus, the Shechina, becomes pregnant. Kilu Kaiman, so once she receives these Neshamas and she, into her womb, Lagoi inside her, Bekurta de Lagoi, Besita Kurta. So, as he explains over here, what does that mean? Bekurta de lagoi besita korta pirish. So the Tzemach Tzedek explains. Betoich pnimius yesoid va'ateres yesoid de malchus. The malchus has the yesod. Yesod is bonding. The element of yesod is to bond. So there is a yesod of the mashpia. The mashpia's yesod. And there is the female yesod, where she is mekabel, she's receiving. So when these neshamas go into the yesod of malchus, and in the yesod of malchus itself, there is the or makif of it and the or pnimi, the internal element of it, and the makif, the keser of the yesod of malchus is the makif of yesod, and then the other sphere is primarily the malchus of malchus, and really from all is the yesod of is the pnimi or pnimi. So when she's makabel. That's the two names of Tzion and Yerushalayim. Tzion is the more pnimi, is the or pnimi, I think, and Yerushalayim is the or makif of Malchus. So down here in this world, this becomes the city of Yerushalayim and Tzion, which is the pnimius of it. That's why it says double. Okay, Nishnagei is so much in the discussion of the Maimer, the details of this. The Kat. Okay, so now there is an impregnation, neshamas go in there, and eventually these neshamas are born into the world. Okay? As we know, neshamas really pre-exist their creation. Before neshamas are created, they're higher than being a creation. But once they go into Malchus, and Malchus gives birth to them, so now the neshamas become entities already in Olam Abriya, eventually they go down in Olam Ayetzira, and finally they come down and they're born down here in a physical body when we bring our children into the world. Fine. The katsiara hispagim. Now, the Shekhinah, who's the woman, who's the Mekabel, goes through certain phases. There are phases like, because as you can explain, the Shekhinah is compared to the moon. And the moon has two phases. There is the time when the moon is filling up, when the moon is becoming more, every day it's waxing. The moon is waxing every day. And then the second half of the month, the moon is waning. Okay? So this represents two stages in the Shekhinah. There is a time when the Shekhinah is in a very, very positive state, if you might say. And then there is a time in the Shekhinah where the Shekhinah is in a state of diminishment. Now, there are two points that he's going to explain over here. Number one is that there is the diminishment of the Shekhinah, which means the Shekhinah gets separated and farther away from her husband. It's a state just like in our relationships, the time of the woman when she's separated from her husband, the time when they get close again. This is the same fluctuation that moves in and out. So there is the miyot hayareach. But in addition to that, during the time of miyot hayareach, during the time when the moon diminishes itself, she also becomes susceptible to the chitzonim, which means to become susceptible, to become attacked by the forces of impurity. It's related to the concept that Chava was pogum, he brings later the Lashon, ba nachash al Chava, that the snake, which is the forces of unholiness, attack the Shekhinah and bring a certain impurity into the Shekhinah. And that's called pegimas halavana, the pegam of the moon, the pegam of the Shekhinah, the pegam of Sfiris HaMalchus, which all of this brings about all the tzaris, all the way down to October 7th. First days. All these inyanim of forces when Klipa can have chas v'shalom, or somewhat of a shlita on Yidden, throughout all elements, it's all a hishtalshalos. It's all related to the spiritual concept of the Shekhinah being wounded by the forces of unholiness, by the unholy. It can only happen when the Shekhinah is outside of her safety zone. When the Shekhinah is attached to her husband, that means when she is in a more transcendental place, miyuchid with the Orein Saif, she is then protected. She's then, there's no way that the chitzayim can get there. But when v'atakam ba'oid laila, she gets up in the middle of the night and she goes down into the, she makes herself vulnerable into the worlds of darkness for a certain purpose, as he's going to explain soon, she opens herself up to attack. And now, what he says, let me just say the nakuda before we get to it. He says that whichever neshamis, for whatever reason, the Shekhinah becomes impregnated. It's hard to understand how she becomes impregnated if she's not miyuchet. But maybe the pregnancy takes a while until it takes effect. I'm not exactly sure how that works. But those neshamis that the Shekhinah kind of produces them during the time when she is pogum, that means when the forces of unholiness latched onto her, these neshamis are born with ailments and pegamim. And he explains that those pegamim come down, that when the person is born, they're born with certain deficiencies, physical and spiritual and mental and all kinds of elements that cause certain, what you might say, damage. But he's going to explain, it's mamish, a bone chilling when you hear the words of the Zohar, how this serves a incredible godly ultimate scheme, that the Eibishter does it on purpose this way, because these neshamas dafka by becoming pogum play an incredible part of the cosmic role of defeating the klipas and the sitra achra completely. And because of that, the Eibishter loves them with an unbelievable love. And as he's going to explain, that these neshamas go through an entire set, their difficulties and hardship didn't start when they're born down here. It's when they're descending, and we don't even know how long, through the entire system, they, in every world that they come to, they're the ones that are injured. So on the one hand, when you read this, it's very painful. But on the other hand, as we're going to see, there's an incredible shlichus that these neshamas have, as we shall see. So he says like this, let's read another. V'katziyara ispagim, when the moon becomes in a state of pegam, like we say by Kiddush Levana, Lamalois Pigima Salavana, right? Bahu Sitra, the Chavya Bisha, how did she become Pogum? The Shekhinah becomes Pogum from the side of the snake. That means Chivya Bisha is the snake. Kedain, the evil snake. Kedain called in a Nishmas in the Nafkin. So all the Nishamas that emerge, Afal Gav the Kulu Dachyan, even though all these Nishamas are pure, the Kula Kadishan, they're holy. Why? Because the impurity is only skin deep. That means it affects the neshama on the outside. The pnimiyus, the neshama, is very holy and very pure. But hoyel v'nafku b'pkimu, since they came out during the time of the pagam, b'chol inen asar demati, dematu, every single place where these neshamas arrive, inu neshmas and these neshamas, kilu izbiru, they get broken, this pigimu, and they become blemished, b'kama tsarin, with different types of pains, b'kama ke'evin, with various different aches, the ilon inon the isrube kotribirichu. And these are the ones that the Eberster desires more than anyone else. In other words, there's a special love affair that the Eberster loves them, these neshamas, because they're taking a hit on his behalf. Because this ultimately it's the Eberster that planned this whole thing for something that he gets out of this whole spiel of creation. And since these neshamas are the ones who are suffering the most in that process, that's why, and therefore, it adds the mila. Now, the secret of it, Sharian, they dwell kegavna de leila, similar to above, meaning similar to the pagam of the shechina itself, the pagam of the source. Gufa is pagam. The pagam is only in the guf, only in the body of the shechina, the nishmasa, but the neshama of the shechina. Pidish keshem shamalamayla, just like above. The yanika of the chitzayna, the forces of unholiness do not derive energy. Rak mahakelim, only from the body, only from the kelim of the spheres of malchus. V'loim neshama sapritzufim, but not from the inner, from the neshama of the partzufim, from the more spiritual side of the partzufim of the configurations. Kachlamata, so to below. Gufa levadis pagim, only the body becomes nifkam. V'loim neshmasa, and not the neshama. Now go back to the lashon v'nishmasa legoy, and the neshama is inside kegavna de leila, like it is above. The da kegavna de da, down here, is similar to the way it is up there. We'll begin kach, and because of this desire concludes ilon inon de boya lechadesuse bechedvesa de sahara. These neshamas are going to be the ones who are going to rejoice with the joy of the moon. That means when Malchus is finally going to be rectified, and there's going to be Aliyas HaMalchus with the coming of Mashiach, and there's going to be the ultimate Simcha She'en Kamoyu, that joy, those that are going to participate in that Simcha, these Neshamas more than anybody else. Akan L'Shoinoi, these are the words of the Zohar. Le'en Yoneinu, that which is Shaykh to us, that we are impidish HaMikdash Melech Sham, with I guess the inserts that he gave over here was from the Migdash Melech, not the Tzemach Tzedek's own, but this was all from the okay. Well, the Havin said to understand this in Etchilei Yeshlevar. So to understand this, we need to understand first Inyan Pigima de Sahara. We need to understand what does it mean that the moon becomes Pogum. Shebezet Toloi Pigumas Guf Haneshamas. With this is Toloi the Pigima that takes place again. The Pigam, the ailments are not only in the physical body of these special needs or difficult or more challenging children, but the pagam is also in the neshama. But in the neshama itself, it's in the guf of the neshama, not in the not in the light of the neshama. Second half of the month, that's when the moon becomes diminished. Until it comes to the end of the month, she becomes completely concealed, we don't see the moon at all. The Chayzeres v'noyledes be'esa moilid. She's reborn again at the time of what we call moilid, the birth of the moon. V'az oisim reshchaydish, then we do reshchaydish, makrivin karban musaf, and we offer a karban musaf berch Hashem this Friday. V'ayleches umes gadeles, and it continues to grow. Atche b'chatzia chaydish, till the middle of the month, hu b'melua, the moon is in its full miloi. V'akha Chayzeres chalila l'ismat. And then it goes back into the cycle to become diminished again. U'listater, to become concealed, the moon starts hiding herself again. What is this? Ule stater, ule hivaleid, vele higadel. And then it goes back to be born again, only Godel, and to become big again. So it goes in this rotation. And this is all because the Eberster said to the moon, "Lechi umati es atzmech, go ahead and diminish yourself." So what really it means is, just like it is regarding these neshamas, it's negeya to the shechina as well. The shechina has a mesiris nefesh by being mati atzmech, who goes through all the tzar. We can't even imagine the tzar. We have tzar when we see suffering in the world. Chazal tell us, when any suffering in the world, what does the Shekhinah say? Kalani me'roishi, I'm suffering. The Shekhinah suffers with incredible, so that's because she made herself vulnerable to that suffering, because she lowered herself. So she had mesiras nefesh for her husband, for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, by diminishing herself. And the Shekhinah could have kind of hypothetically said, I'm not going to create worlds where there's going to be a possibility for evil, for darkness, and all the suffering. I'm going to stay in the state, as we learn in Chassidus, of Yehudi Allah, the higher unity, and I don't want anything to do with this. But the Eibishter asked, so to speak, for the Shekhinah to be Moisa Nefesh. That's the mysterious Nefesh of the Shekhinah. It's the mysterious Nefesh of Klolas Nishmas Yisrael. Because we're all wrapped in the Shekhinah. We came down to give a Nachas Ruach to the Eibishter. Okay. The Yaduah, and it is known, She'inyan Reim is Lamayla. So here the Inyan is Reim is Lamayla, but Midas Malchusa Yisbarach. In Midas of Malchus, Shekhinah is the Midah of Malchus, HaMachaya Oilamois, that enlivens the worlds, so two things. Shekhinah number one is the source of the three lower worlds of Biyah, which means of creation. Midas HaMalchus. But in addition to that, the Shekhinah also descends into the three lower worlds to as we're going to see soon, to elevate sparks of holiness. I'm going to explain that in a moment. And then Rishchaydesh, what happens? Noiledes, she becomes born again. Venasis nekuda tachas yisoid. So here's the thing. Second half of the month, when the moon becomes small and less, it's indicating the idea that Sfiras HaMalchus is journeying away from her husband. She's contracting so that she goes down and she goes and hides herself, so to speak. She's descending into creation. It's like in our own world, it would be a shliach leaving the Rebbe, leaving his source of inspiration, his source of hashpa, and going to a hick town, far away. Why are you going? Why are you going to this distant place? Because you're going there. And what's for the purpose? Because you want to do it, you want to elevate sparks over there. You want to bring things closer to the Abish, to all the divine potential that's in that corner of the world. You're going over there, but for that it's going to cost you. What is it going to cost you? It's going to cost you that you're not close to your source. There's certain so many elements that make Yiddishkeit so much more accessible and enjoyable and easier. If you're able to have the moistness of chinuch for your children, you're able to have easier access to kosher food. You're able to have all these inyanim. So, but yet you know that there's a shlichus far away. So you're diminishing, and also you're diminishing because if you're living in your own together with your chaverim, if you're having a fabrenyan and you're talking and you're learning, you can speak and you can learn inyanim that you're shaychus to, that you have a geshmakin, that you have a higher understanding. You could speak on a much higher level. But when you're going down and you have to learn with people aleph beis, it's called the miatiyat atzmech. You have to speak about the klenche kazachin that you would love. That's not giving you a chayis, but you know this is what the people of makabel is able to receive. This is all a process of miat es atzmech, making yourself small with the mesiras nefesh in order to be able to reach the tiny little potentials, which is the idea of elevating sparks. So that's kind of what we can understand it in our own life. Now, what happens on Rish Chodesh? Now, led us for nasis nekuda tachas yisoid, v'oilis lekabel ma'oirachama. And then there is a time when she goes back, where the moon goes back to the sun. A shefa midois of yizbarach. So that would mean the time that the Shekhinah exits, so to speak, its yirida, goes back into Atzilus, goes back into the worlds, the higher realities of Enoid Movadoi, and goes to receive a hashpa from the ultimate Emes, and then she's a little bit removed from the bitterer. It's like the shliach going back to Crown Heights for Tishnei. It's or Kinesa Shluchim or whatever it is. It's this time of going back to recharge and to replenish with a deeper reality. So now she goes back to unify with her husband with the Orin Soif. And what's the purpose of this Yerida? In order to be able to do a bitter. With the nitzutzik kedusha shenaflu b'shviras hakelim, which since there are sparks of holiness that fell during the shviras hakelim, right? Mezayin malkin detayu, which from where does these sparks come from? From a very lofty level of elikus, which is their oilam atayu, where the oiris were very very infinite and boundless. The kelim couldn't handle them, and that's what's called the shviras hakelim. Shahoy bebchinas yash, which that was in a state of yash. Anyways, what happens over here is for the from here to the bottom of this page, he goes into an arichus which I feel is gavaldic to learn, but it will take away from the main part that we need to learn. So I'm just going to do brief, just an akuda. You can read it on your own. What he basically is going to explain is that why is dafka sfiras amalchus the one that has to go do the bitter, that descends to go down, but into the lower worlds to do this bitter, to do this rectification, to elevate the sparks. Because he says that the Shvira happened in the Malchus of reality. He calls it Shein Ban. Shein Ban is the Malchus of element. Why is that? So the Malchus of everything, as he explains, the Malchus is the ultimate expression of something. Malchus is expression. So when something comes into a state of expression, then it gets a certain yeshus to it. It becomes a certain mitzias. It becomes a certain something. When an energy is not yet fully expressed, the energy is still kind of connected to its source. It's not yet, but when a thing becomes fully expressed and fully projected into a state of beingness, that creates a certain yesh to it. The yesh, the yeshus of the spheres, that's its, and that creates a certain disconnect from the ultimate emes of the Eibishter. The Eibishter is the only mitzvah. So even in the spheres of Lamaila, even in the divine attributes, when these divine attributes become too much self-aware in them being who they are, because the Orin Seif is nisht chesed, nisht gevura, nisht teferes, not this, it's beyond, it's the potential for everything, and beyond potential for everything, but it's not this or that. But when mitzad, the spheres, each one comes out, especially to a malchus state, in other words, it dominates, it's in a state of full expression and domination, so then, and at that point it can't hear of anything else, it's my way or the highway kind of, chesed, vilzayn, only chesed, with a full expression of it, that yeshus of it, is what caused the Shvira. And that's why the Sfiras HaMalchus of Atzilus, which is the Malchus still of the world of Atzilus, which is the world of Tikkun, not the world that shattered, has to do the Tikkun. Again, this is not the Shir in this Indian, so I'm not going to go too much into this because it just carries away. Now, what does he say? The way that the Shvira Sakelim works is that these sparks of holiness that come from Elokus that was expressed too much in a state of Yeshus, like we say, vayimloich vayamas, because the whole story of Shvira Sakelim is according to the Arizal is hinted to in the story of the Malchei Edoim that died. The end of Parshas Vayishlach, it mentions all the kings of Edoim. So when kings of Edoim died, vayimloich, he reigned and he died. So that's the Shvira Sakelim. So in Beruch Nisinyanim, there's a certain yeshus that's separating it from the Orein Seif to a certain degree. That shatters. But when the sparks from that fall down, when the debris of that falls down, if you learn Chassidus, it becomes real grubba yeshus. It becomes real mitzios in this world. It can create entities and beings that only know of themselves and completely the Eibishter doesn't exist to them. And that's the klippus of this world. A world full of klippus, a world full of sitra achra, a world where there's full of yeshus, full of ego, full of self, and a world that's hepuch, the kavanah of what the Eibishter wants. And a world that will rebel against the Eibishter. Comes the process. And the Eibishter wanted that. That's his Nachas Ruach. That into a world where it's full of klippas and sitra achra, we should come in and do a tikkun in it and fix it. By doing what? The avoida of elevating the sparks and extract is bringing bittul into the yeshus. And that's the avoida of Malchus. Malchus goes into the world to bring bittul. That means the Shekhinah lowers herself down spiritually into the worlds of Bri, Yetzir, and Asiya, where she needs to speak the language of the lower world. In other words, it's a Mesiras Nefesh for her. Because as he explains in the Maamar, something evolving, not everybody is a Keli for ultimate Emes. And if you're going to try to reveal absolute Emes and truth, the deepest truth to your Makabal can't receive it. They'll run away, they're never going to come out. We all know this in Chabad house. There are certain things you don't have to say. Not everything that's emes in Yiddishkeit you have to say because the guy's not a keli for it. So what do you have to do? You have to tailor the message, which that means a certain constriction, a certain miatu. You have to be memat
so that the keli can be makabel. So that's the mesiris nefesh of the Shechina. She goes down. In Chassidus we learn, she presents to the world a certain type of bittel that the world can handle. What's the bittel that the world can handle? Not enoid movaveh, there's nothing but the Eibishter. But the Eibishter is the master over everything. It's called Yichud Tatah, the lower Yichud. Instead of the higher Yichud of enoid movaveh, if Shechina would reveal that to the world, will blow the whole world away. So she has to present a Yichud Tatah, a lower element of bittel. And that's how, and so what does that mean? Let's understand, these are all the concepts. How does that translate to all of us? Each and every one of us in our makam hashlichus needs to come out to our place and speak the language of the people that are there. It's what we call that the mevarer has to be mislabish and the levushe hamizbarer. We have to dress ourselves in the garments of those that we're dealing with to be able to give them a message, to be able to give them a thought of emes in a level that they can handle. So this is the concept, he says, of bringing of the Shechina v'atakam ba'od laila, she goes down during the night to influence and bring bittul and so on and so forth. And dafka. Now, okay, you know what? How much time do we have? We have to start Shachas. So tomorrow, we got to come back tomorrow. Tomorrow we're going to see, because we're going to get to the part where he's going to explain what element in this give and take happens with these children, special needs children, of how, what does the injury mean, and how do they play a role in it, and what is, and as we shall see, but as a session. What?